My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about the Vince Gilligan Breaking Bad universe. That's Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
Yeah, and this week we're talking about a doozy of an episode. This is Dead Freight, which was written and directed by George Mastris, and it originally aired on August the 12th of 2012.
Yeah, a name I keep seeing in X-Files. Watch
now,
George Mastris.
One of those stable jobbers. Yeah.
He brought all his friends over.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is about the ongoing operation in the wake of Gus's death, trying to figure out how to get methylamine.
Right.
The crew is dealing with Lydia. She bargains for her life and says, "I can give you thousands of gallons of methylamine, this precursor they need." And it leads to a train heist.
Uh-huh.
Not tons of things happen in this episode.
Nope.
It is largely the train heist.
Yes. And that's fine because it's largely the train heist, the coming up with the plan, the doing all of the prep work, and then seeing it go. Gary, the heist is the highest form of human endeavor.
It's a really fun episode.
Yes.
Like, this episode's great, front to back. I love a heist.
Mm-hmm.
I will never do a heist in real life. I like the idea of it, but I just, it's not where my life
seems stressful.
Let me.
Heist seems like a 20s thing, at least for getting started.
Like, you had to get started. You had to get into some practice heists.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, my 20s, I was like, can I heist the pussy? Can I heist the beer? That's all I cared about. The connotations of heist the pussy, I just thought it was a funny phrase. But the things I wanted weren't heistable. And now I just want the experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I get to live it vicariously through watching TV shows like this.
Yeah. Playing Tear Down.
Perhaps. Yeah. Tear Down. Perhaps someday the very funnily named Netflix show Money Heist. The heist for the money from the makers of Door Kickers and Crown Takers.
Yeah.
It's Money Heist.
Money Heist. Distinct from Tower Heist.
Yes. A different kind of heist.
I feel like we've riffed on that in the past, actually.
It's an intrusive thought. Like the Property Brothers. Just a funny name for a thing.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Something that is not like the Property Brothers is Todd Alquist. I've never seen the Property Brothers. Is there a Property Brother who is dead-eyed and has a child's immorality?
I think they both look like that to me. They both look dead-eyed to me in the way that anyone who does property reality TV does. I couldn't tell them apart. There's just like two guys. They're brunettes.
Mm-hmm.
They stare at the camera smiling under a logo that says the Property Brothers. That's the extent of my knowledge as well.
I think you're describing a poster.
I never watched the show. Yeah. I just can't believe that's the name they went with.
Yeah. Did you know there's a third Property Brother who is completely uninvolved on camera, but still helps run the business?
Yeah. A silent Property Brother.
Yeah. The bonus brother.
Yeah. I like a stealth brother.
Yeah.
The secret third Summers brother. It's Adam X, the secret third Property Brother.
Yeah. But yes, this is the episode where Todd Alquist, a worker of Ominous Pest, the one who pointed out the nanny cam before, played by Jesse Plemons, starts becoming a real factor in the story.
Yeah. Steps into his villain role.
Yeah.
For the season. There's a little bit of some side business with Walt's family situation. You know, but we're just going to do check-ins, so the whole episode is not a heist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this episode, you know, George Mastris's first episode as a director, and the production on this is crazy, and there's not as much detail as I wanted there to be. To me, it seems very difficult to get a train.
It really does. Although the wiki, and this is one thing you could count on wikis for, is to identify a train and tell you who owns it and where it comes from.
Yeah, we do learn a lot about the train.
We learn so much about the train. I think it's owned by Southwest Santa Fe Freight Company. Apparently, like, they had to get a lot of coverage when they were shooting this stuff because there's only, you know, if you're operating on a budget, there's only so much you can move a train.
Yeah, you got train time.
You got train time. So you know, a single camera show, you're just a single camera, you're setting up shots and, you know, taking angles again and again. A lot of this was shot multicam all at the same time. In addition to just a train is a complicated machine and it broke down when they first got it.
That's the thing that I wanted to know about.
Yeah.
Like looking up stuff about it, you find out about how they had to have lots of cameras and everything. And like, yeah, okay. I don't care. Like, I don't know that different from what you usually do.
Uh-huh.
You know, show. I want to know the logistics of like renting a train, operating a train, who operated it, like having this train go back and forth to these, you know, because they actually do it.
Yes.
You know, they're like Jesse Plemons jumps off a moving train
mm-hmm.
in this, and it's him.
No,
you know, it's you know, not a stunt person, and it's a, you know, Jesse Pinkman doesn't lay under the train. That's right. That's fake.
Yeah.
But the rest of the stuff, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very intimidating to me.
Yeah.
This is the kind of plot you can't do unless you have a very successful show.
Right.
And it's really fun to see them actually get to play and make it and do it real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Nolan talking about Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, let's actually put it on camera. And it, you can see it. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really fun to watch.
Yeah. In addition to being really creative, like the plan that they come up with is like is genius. There's some parts that fall apart when you watch it, which is like, how do they not see somebody standing on top of their train? They're not that far away.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's similar to, you can tell the writers are having a lot of fun this season.
Yes.
Like when they came up with the Vaminos plan with the pest tents, they were really excited.
Mm-hmm. They came up with the magnet. Yeah.
Yeah. What a fun thing to do. Like, what mm-hmm. a fun job.
Yeah.
You know? So we open up, we get this cold open, this ominous cold open, of this young boy ripping across the desert on his dirt bike, stops and puts a tarantula into a jar.
Yes.
Puts in his coat, hears a train whistle, and then pulls away.
Yeah.
And this is a non sequitur unless you know what's going to happen.
Right. Does not come back until the very, very end. So Hank is settling in as the ASAC in his new office. He puts down a photo of himself and Marie, and Gomez walks in, you know. And Walt is in tow, and they have some small talk, you know, Hank talking about like, yeah, you know, I'm not out there picking up dirt bags off the street, but being the boss is his own kind of crime, right?
Yeah.
Walt, new boss.
Gomez Walt? Brings Walt in.
Yeah.
I think it sounded like you said Gomez walks in. And uh-huh. He does, but with
yeah.
Walt.
Yeah, just to clarify. With Walt in tow is what I said.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he notices the watch. He says, hey, you know, good on you for treating yourself. And he asks how Skyler's doing, you mm-hmm. know, as far as he knows, they're fighting. Last he heard, he's asking Skyler to do therapy.
Yes.
You know, or suggested it. And Walt says, yeah, no, she went to work today, you know, for the first time. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
We've already found a therapist.
His name's Peter. Know, he's out in the desert.
He's out at that reservation that nobody can go to,
uh-huh.
Where I did my sweat lodge, or what have you. He draws a blank on the last name because he's lying.
Yes.
You know, and this is all planned. Walt says, you know, thank you for watching the kids. He starts crying.
Yeah.
You know, and he's weaponizing Hank's masculinity against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows Hank will be uncomfortable with this.
Yeah. You know, Hank is going to be compelled by social nicety to say, no, man, tell me about this. And the second it starts coming out, you're like, oh God, my wife doesn't love me anymore. Yeah. Like he needs to like, all right, well, I can bring you coffee. I can't be here for this.
And there's nothing else I can do. Pull yourself together. We can talk, but it can't be like this.
Yeah.
The thing that's fascinating about this is as much as, you know, fifth season, there's no sympathy for Walt. He is upset that Skyler doesn't love him anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, he like, we're going to get a lot more of this next episode when he's talking to Jesse about this, where it's like, these feelings are real. He's mm-hmm. still also weaponizing him, like the duplicitness and the kind of double, you know, life. Like he is fully an actor now,
yeah.
able to use real tragedy to like, to mask things
mm-hmm.
like this.
You know, to pull up real tears, to make it look real.
Yeah. You know, 'cause it is real mm-hmm. on some level, you know, even though this was a plan to get Hank to go get him some coffee and give him a minute,
mm-hmm.
Walt, you know, takes a moment to put himself together and then puts a keylogger into Hank's office computer and a bug,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the frame,
yeah.
you know, and, Hank walks in, you know, Walt's holding the picture. He just barely got it in time.
Yeah. Yeah, no. You two look so great together. Just like me yeah. with my wife I used to have.
more coffee, please. The boys bring Lydia into this abandoned building, this double dragon stage.
Foot Clan training center.
Yeah. Mike lays out to Walt and, you know, lays out that Walt and Jesse want to give her one more chance.
Yeah, because so, they don't know her as well as he does.
Yeah, again, I love it. Mike's contempt for Lydia is great. I wish mm-hmm. he could have been alive for her to die. he lays out the phone and he says, this is your script. you know, these are the conditions. If you make it sound anything less than convincing, if you hint at all that you're in trouble, I'm going to shoot you in the head with this pistol.
I'm going to take out my pistol and shoot you in the head.
Yeah. Well, repeat it back to me. And she's like, you're going to take out your gun and shoot me. And it's not a gun. It's a pistol. I need precision here. You'll read your script.
Yeah. And so he dials Hank's office and gives over the phone for her to read her lines. He says, hey, you know, we were moving a barrel and I noticed a tracking device on the bottom of one of them, one of the barrels of methylamine. It's like, hey, you know, give me some guidance because I don't want to interfere with an investigation. Right.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, and the goal with the script here is they believe that she planted the bug. They want to get the reaction to this in order to find out, like, oh, did the DEA actually plant this? Right. Trying to catch her in the lie.
Yep. So they hang up and they listen, you know, to the bug to figure out what the DEA is saying. And Mike basically confirms what he said. The DEA didn't plant the bug. Mm-hmm. So, she did it. You know? So they want to murder her. You know, the guys step aside to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, this is a problem. The warehouse supply is going to be useless as soon as the DA gets to it. But we can get there first. We have a 5-hour, you know, head start on them. We get a couple of barrels. It'll be fine for a stopgap.
Yeah.
You know, you guys go ahead. I'll handle Lydia.
Right.
Lydia overhears this and her self-preservation instinct kicks in.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse's inclined to believe her. Right. There's a little there's a little detail in this here where she's like especially like she's specifically upset over the notion of her kid ending up in a group home, like saying, do you understand, you know, how terrible those places are? That combined with her desperately not wanting to disappear. And think her daughter left her does really a lot of things with subtext to tell about Lydia's past, I think, in a clever way.
You could make some suppositions about her past.
Yeah.
That aren't laid out.
I just had never noticed that in any of my like 5 watches of this.
And like anybody who grew up in a group home, she's a complete monster.
and deserves everything that happens to her.
It's funny that she's, you know, it's an interesting take for her because that is obviously a sympathetic take.
Yes.
You know, or a sympathetic detail. Everything else about her makes me want to step on her throat.
Uh-huh.
When that happens, and all I can think about is her telling her nanny, well, who's the adult here?
Uh-huh.
Because her daughter wanted to stay up. Like, they really kind of play at both sides with Lydia. But that I noticed that as well.
Yeah.
You know, probably had a rough upbringing, and that's probably why she sucks.
Yeah. You know, so that is a neat little detail there. You know, Lydia says, hey, I didn't do it. Jesse believes her. And, you know, Mike says, hey, everyone sounds like Meryl Streep with a gun to their head. You know, just like Walt, right?
Yeah. They hear Hank on the phone again. He calls the Houston DA. He's like, hey, tell me you boneheads didn't do something stupid, like put a tracker on the outside of a barrel.
Yeah.
And they did. You know, they didn't have time to get into hazmat gear. They didn't have a lot of time. They did it, and he's pissed. He didn't get a heads up, you know. Mike says this doesn't change anything, you know. But Lydia and Jesse is like, no, you know, actually, she saved us from this. She found the bug. We were going to take it, and we'd be fucked.
You know? Also a point. Mike also has a point because she took out a hit on him. And I like the puzzlement at this.
Yes.
As though suddenly the idea of like putting a hit out on somebody is like completely out of the blue. And just is like the mafia. Yeah. Like the mafia.
Yeah. It's fucking try to kill me. Mike, this is deeper than just like a vengeance thing.
Yeah.
She's unreliable.
Yes.
You know, she is a detriment. And Lydia, who is smart, says, like, listen, I can get you an ocean of methylamine. You still need methylamine, right? I can do this here. Jesse tells Mike, you know, to trust Walt while Walt negotiates with Lydia.
Yes.
You know, and kind of tries to get to the bottom of this. She asks Walt to swear on his children's lives that they won't kill her. And, you know, I love this. He's like, you won't do it. Like, you're a businesswoman. Leverage. You have none of this. Like, we have you tied up.
Yeah.
We have a gun to your head. No one will ever find you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know, trust has to go both ways, Lydia.
Yeah. So he asks, we're going to establish trust. Did you put out a hit on Mike? And she explains some facts that Walt is not quite aware of regarding the, you know, the witnesses that are being paid, saying, you know, there are these guys in jail who are part of Frank's operation and Mike is protecting them. You know, they could talk at any moment. And Walt asks, okay, well, cool. How much methylamine can you get me? And then cut to laying out a map. She's talking about a freight train that regularly carries 24,000 gallon tankers of methylamine across the Southwest.
Yes. There, you know, Mike points out, you know, we're not gonna be able to do this, there, but there is a spot we can rob it. You know, there's a dark zone. The alarms won't get out. There's no cell phone coverage.
Right.
And they're all a little bit incredulous about this. They don't really like rob it like Jesse James. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they're literally going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, Lydia says, I can tell you exactly which car has the methylamine after it departs its origins. Like, Mike is poking holes in it and she has answers for everything.
Yeah. It's in a dark zone. So even if they hit the alarm, it wouldn't go until they got 3 miles out. Right.
Yes.
You know, they would get enough of a head start. And Mike's like, oh, there's no hiding in that country. You know, all kind of things. You know, and Lydia says, well, okay. You know, I can tell you where the, you know, which car it is. Mike raises like, oh, well, now we're going to have to kill the crew. You know, I've done this long enough to know that there are two kinds of heists. Those where they get away with it and those where they leave witnesses. Dot, dot, dot. Even if the witness is a little kid, wait, no, Todd, stop, please.
Yes. Yeah. we'll talk about that later. That's interesting how this, one of the things that I didn't pick up on my previous watches of this that I picked up on this one is how that is threaded through.
Uh-huh.
Like kind of an argument for Todd.
Yeah.
Is kind of threaded through the episode. Like, it's obviously a monstrous act and it's ultimately wrong, but the show does a lot of things. There's a lot of things to support it. Like why somebody might come to that conclusion.
Or at least so doubt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Lydia, you know, says, oh, you know, you don't want to kill the crew, but you'll kill me. Like, what is this about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lydia, unlike Mike, is very cavalier with human lives. Like when she's explaining about Mike's guys, you know, and tried to have a hit out put out them, Walt knew about Mike's guys, knew about legacy cost as a thing, but he, you know, to him, let's also just wipe up these loose ends. He's more Lydia in that respect.
Yeah.
Whereas you have a Mike and Jesse who are not being quite as cavalier with human life.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We get a minuscule cutaway here to Hank and Marie playing with Holly, you know, talking about how upset Junior is. You know, they call him emo, which is a very fun 2010s insult for somebody.
Yes.
You know, and Junior comes out, you heard them talking about him, and rejects the offers for reheated lasagna and a Blu-ray copy of Heat.
Yeah. The things I would do to like eat homemade lasagna and hang out with Hank and watch Heat.
Yeah.
Like that does sound, that's fucking perfect dad day. Like that.
Yeah.
That's uncle. That is so uncle to me.
That is incredibly uncle. I don't know if a 16-year-old is in the pocket to appreciate the 1993 Michael Mann thriller Heat, though.
16? I think so.
16? Yeah.
You're old enough for Heat.
Okay.
At that age.
All right.
Like, and you're never too old for homemade lasagna.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Yeah,
I'm trying to put myself in the head of somebody who is, you know, somebody who is young at this particular time. And I don't know if Heat would be the first movie that would get him out of the room, I guess.
This is going to be the number one thing he regrets when he loses his uncle.
Yes, true.
There should be an entire, like, sequel series about Flynn wishing he had watched Heat with his uncle.
Just trying to find people to watch Heat and eat lasagna with.
Like increasingly fatter, balder men. he finds the perfect combo.
Holding Telly Savalas at gunpoint.
Yeah. And just like say sex gifts. So we head over to Jesse's place where Mike and Walt are arguing about the plan. This is an echo of the magnets.
Yes.
Thing. Mike says, you know, we can go back to pseudo, you know, but nobody wants to do that. Walt says, oh, yeah, but what about, you know, those witnesses that you have? And where it's almost exactly like the magnets thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, you want to kill these people? And he's like, oh, put words in my mouth. You know, it's nothing. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And Jesse's in the background as the camera's kind of slowly, you know, closing in on him as he's playing around with a straw in his drink, you know, making a little vacuum and lifting up a little bit of it and dropping it in. And then he interrupts and he says, well,
you're
what
like
if
a
we...
bitch. I've discovered displacement.
Yeah, capillary action, baby. He's like, well, what if we rip off that train and no one even knows if it gets robbed? Yeah.
And we get to the setup here. That's like, okay. I love that we don't get to see them laying out the plan exactly. Mm-hmm. Here we just cut to them doing it. Like something that lesser writers, I think, fuck up a lot.
Yeah.
Is showing all the steps, like just cutting over to them working it.
It's the genius of Ocean's 11. That is like the other genius aside from the casting, which is you do not see. Like you see mm-hmm. like little bits and fragments, like, you know, misleading things about the preparation for the heist, but like you are shown the heist as it is being explained.
The yeah. reason why a heist is so beautiful in any kind of passive media is because the heist is also kind of on you.
Yes.
Like you should get kind of tricked mm-hmm. during it. That's the fun of it.
And then while they think we're walking out of the, then just, yes, exactly. there's the prestige. Yeah. Love yeah. it.
So the guys are surveying this railroad crossing. You know, measuring the distance from the road to the bridge. It's the perfect distance for it. We cut to Vamanos pest workers hanging around digging a hole near the bridge with an extractor and burying two huge plastic tanks.
Yes.
Down here.
And Todd pulls up with a tanker full of water. And, you know, he doesn't know the plan, but he's curious. You know, I understand why you have the tanks down here if you're looking for the methylamine, but why do we bring all this water here? And instead of starting right away with the teacherly explanation, Walt does the great honor to Jesse to let him explain the plan since Jesse came up with it.
Yeah. The train cars get weighed at their origin and their destination, so they're replacing the methylamine with water to make mm-hmm. the weights match.
Yes.
You know, Walt picks up, you know, it's not going to be exactly the exact thing, but it's fine. They'll just, you know, assume it's evaporation or whatever. It's going to be very close because there's a difference between water and methylamine. Todd says, will they notice that the product is diluted? And he's like, yeah, but they're going to blame the people they bought, China, you know, the people they bought it from for ripping mm-hmm. them off. They'll get slightly weaker batch. Yeah. It's at this, you know, 1:24 ratio. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know, less than like, you know, less than 4%. He's doing all this math. Like Todd is going to appreciate it beyond just, oh, he's doing that math in his head. Cool.
Well, Todd, yeah. it's interesting. Todd does appreciate it. Like Todd, this uh-huh. is the thing that makes Todd want in.
Uh-huh.
You know, ultimately, like every single step of the tragedy of this episode is set up by Walt and Jesse talking to Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Todd is being manipulated like a pinball yeah. moving butt around. Like if he wasn't so desperate to be part of the crew mm-hmm. and if they didn't emphasize to him the things they're going to emphasize to him, yeah. he probably wouldn't have done what he did.
Yeah.
You know, Todd is a blank vessel that does, he's a golem. Like he does what you tell him to do, what he is programmed to do.
Todd's a little bit like the pet from Black and White.
Yes.
Where like it watches what you are doing, but once that machine gets started, it won't stop. It continues yes. in the direction that it was programmed.
he walks back and forth, left yeah. and right.
Yes.
Like that's Todd, if you have him do that.
Yeah.
We go back to the White House. Skyler is yelling through Junior's door. You know, he's going by Flynn, saying like, get out of your room. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm staying. Mm-hmm. I'm back home. He's very upset that he's being ejected from his house.
Yeah. And you know, it's like, you know, tell me why, you know, he wants an explanation because he's being kept in the dark because he can't possibly be read into this.
Yes.
And
you know,
okay.
This is further wedge driving, you yes. know, Walt gets home and Skyler says, you know, congratulations. He blames me for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Walt takes care of this, you know, knocks on the door, says you had to go back. Flynn demands explanation. He's like, you know, I want one good reason. He's like, because we're your parents and you're our child. You don't get a reason for this. Go, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, and this shuts him up.
Yes. Famously, logic that placates a teenager.
Yes, exactly.
But there's no discussion to be had. He says, you know, this isn't going to be a debate. Flynn leaves and Skyler says, you know, okay, yeah, it's good you got him out of there, but I'm never going to change my mind about you. You know, she's like, okay, well, if you did that as a grand gesture trying to appease me, no, you know, I'm not your wife. I'm your hostage. You know, I'll launder the money and keep your secrets, but the kids need to stay away.
Yeah. You know, and she brings up the idea like of Jesse holding a gun to his head. He said, you know, a couple of days ago, you told me that you got this watch from somebody who held a gun to your head and you said it as a point of pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids can't be here the next time somebody shows up, you know, to do that. If you agree to that, I'll be whatever kind of partner you want me to be, which is a dark fucking line.
Yep.
You know, that's
extremely upsetting.
Yeah. Grody. You know, and Walt says, okay, like sulks about this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, when I say grody, I'm not disparaging Skylar.
No, no, but it's just the power dynamic involved in that.
Yes.
And, you know, the performance of wifeliness involves, I don't know.
Boning.
Boning, yeah. Sex.
Yeah, it involves yeah. physical and emotional intimacy, and she's offering this to subsume herself for her kids.
Yeah.
You know. Walt says, okay, well, you know, the official story is you're seeing a therapist named Peter. You can make up whatever last name you want.
Uh-huh.
And I like this a little bit. This is one of the last vestiges of cool Walt.
Uh-huh.
Where she looks at his dirty jeans and says, were you out burying bodies? She goes, no, we're robbing a train. And I think that's kind of great.
And then he just walks away.
It's pretty sick. I hate finding Walt cool ever, but like, yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's a little bit of levity after the horrible domestic abuse we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But also it's just like, okay, just like, what the fuck is your job? Like,
yeah, how, you know, every day you come back with new
it's
dust.
It's just a cartoon. Like it's always new hijinks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Like, it just makes it seem pretty fun, even though, like, actually doing it makes it seem not that fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something we forgot to mention earlier, too, this is just because I fucking hate Lydia, is that after this thing, she's like, you know, you get this first one free, but I'm going to get a cut of this when they do this thing. Like, well,
I'm going to get a percentage. Yeah.
I'm going to get a percentage. Like, just like, fuck, man, just take, you know, walk away, you horrible monster. Anyway, so she calls Mike at midnight, says the train is good to go. Mike watches as Kubi parks a truck on the train tracks.
Yeah, if you don't remember who Kubi is, this is Bill Burr. He is, yeah. I love his role on a team, which is he is brought in to be the motor mouth, right?
Yeah, he's more of a con man than Huel. He's one of Saul's henchmen.
Yeah.
For this. The engineers spot the truck and they slam the brakes, stop just in time.
It takes trains and so much longer to stop than that.
The whole thing is very scary. I also like how fucking angry these engineers are.
Uh-huh.
You guys are such dicks. Like, I get it, but it's not Kubi's fault.
Yeah.
You know, they stop and the plan starts. Walt and Jesse get the pump set up while Kubi starts talking to the train drivers.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a broken truck, an engine. You guys are engineers. You guys probably know what to do with this. You know, I just drive the thing.
Yeah. Do you guys know about it? And just, but you guys are engineers. And like, when was the last time you changed the oil? I don't fix them. I just drive.
I'm a driver. Yeah. I don't do that. You know, Mike gives the signal and Todd and Jesse run out the hoses to the tanker car. You know, the top and the bottom, they're doing, you know, everything. There's a lot of little procedural things. Like they're clipping the little metal thing, little just seal.
Kind of showing all of the steps that need to be undone in order to seal this up, but also make it look like nothing wrong happens.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. You know, the methylamine is going to drain out. They're going to put water in through the top.
Yes.
Todd up top, Jesse on the bottom.
Yes.
The engineers think they've fixed the engine, you know, and Kubi gets in to start it up, but he flips a little switch that cuts it so the engine doesn't turn over.
Yeah. It's like, well, do you want to push? Like, all right, well, we'll start. It's a huge ass truck.
Yes. Like, it's real cute. Kubi stalling, like doing stretches and shit.
Yeah.
And like, it's really, like, good.
Is it in neutral? Oh, come on, give me some credit.
Yeah. You know, and Mike is the lookout who's kind of coordinating everyone.
Yeah.
From us kind of watching both points of interest.
This is so well blocked because there's never a cut in between them without going to a master shot that is Mike observing from a distance and being able to see both of them in action.
When you see something like this done really well, it always brings in a relief action that isn't.
Uh-huh.
This. Like I love to know where things are.
Yeah.
You know, call me fucking crazy, but where things are in relation to each other matters for action.
Yeah.
And it makes, like, you know, when I see action like this, if I see like a rising tension thing versus something where I'm like, where the fuck are they?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this?
Yeah.
That's such a pet peeve because when you get it right, it feels so much better.
Yeah.
Like one of the reasons I think this sequence is so electrifying is because you, at every moment, you understand exactly where things are and what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in addition to like the stakes and everything that were built up,
yeah,
you know, through this, it's just like, man, this is legible.
No. And, you know, the stakes being, like, this is a massive, incredible federal crime that they are committing. And also, there's a deleted scene where Walt kind of goes and, you know, just calculates the total that they're going to make off of this. And it makes it the most lucrative train robbery in history by far across the world.
Again, going to appeal to a Walt.
Yes.
Like somebody who is that dad coded.
Yes.
Quite a bit. You know, and it's like the finding a good stick. There's a Dude Rock element to this whole thing. You know, like a little bit up until the end.
Yeah.
Dude cease rocking, but like initially it's very Dude Rock.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the stakes, and you see kind of like how close they are to each other as well, right? Yeah. Like this could go wrong at any moment.
And it does.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because, who shows up, but a good Samaritan.
I love that use of the lingo, how that ends up being kind of backported into Better Call Saul.
Uh-huh.
You know, when, you know, what happened to the good Samaritan? Like it's always that, you know, this pickup truck, he's like, I could push it. You know, he was like, you don't want to mess up your bumper. He's like, no, that's what they're for. And the engineer's like, we're fucking already late because of you.
Yeah, we insist, actually.
Yeah. So Mike tries to call it off. And Walt, who is a fucking psychopath, like they could call it off now and probably be okay. They'd have a lot of methylamine. It'd still be pretty close. They'd probably get away, but it's not done yet.
No.
They're in the last couple of seconds.
They set out to steal 1,000 gallons of methylamine, and the valve gauge only shows 900 have been taken.
Yep. And it's really tense. Again, absolutely arresting television. The engineers start up the train. It starts moving. Mike is saying, call it off. You know, it's going right now. Jesse is under the train. Mm-hmm. And Walt's just saying, go, go, go. He doesn't give the signal until they actually get to their 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Jesse has to lay flat on the tracks. This was done with compositing. Nobody was ever under a train for it. And Todd has to leap from the top. Fortunately,
jump from a moving train.
It doesn't pick up a lot of speed, but I don't know, jumping from the top of a train also like seems, I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that.
Undeniably dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you take in stride. Trains are fucking dangerous. I think I mentioned this before. Somebody I went to high school with tried crossing a train that was stopped at the tracks and lost her foot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it just happens. Like you don't fuck with trains.
Yeah. Just, you step on the wrong thing, the coupler buckling or whatever. And well, fuck, there it goes.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how slow they're going because there's just an immense amount of power. It is relentless.
Yeah.
A train, you know,
to get a train going, you know, 3 miles per hour involves so much fucking force.
So much energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's train. They're cool. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Wiki editors. So they do that. They get off and they did it.
Uh-huh.
Like everyone's fucking celebrating. Everyone's very excited. They did it.
Yeah.
This is huge. It's really cool.
High fives and slaps all around.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And then the kid pulls up with the dirt bike.
From the beginning? Yeah.
Yeah. The kid kind of waves and there's a little bit of a beat of silence. Todd waves, you know, back at him and then pulls out his handgun and shoots him.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse yells no, not quite in time. Here we kind of like slid over it, but when they were recruiting Todd and when they were explaining the plan, they were talking about like no one can know what we did.
Yes.
You know, when they were explaining to him about the water plan, they're like, absolutely no, not one word. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly important. Not one of these people see us.
Yeah.
No one can ever know that we were here.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to let Todd off the hook for murdering a kid, but like you could, with the crew that Todd rolls with and everything, the kind of people who would tell him that ordinarily probably would mean kill the kid.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, him dealing with Uncle Jack would mean kill the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is Todd is doing Todd shit. Todd is doing stuff that's in his nature. He was not vetted.
Yeah.
Well enough for this. And then bringing him in because they need an extra hand is another symptom of them suffering from lacking the Gus infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Gus had people for this.
Yeah.
They have to bring in people because they're just three guys and they're kind of making it up as they go along.
Yeah. They were desperate for another set of hands and they brought in an unknown variable and also made a lot of assumptions about the directions that he would follow.
Yeah. Right? You know, and what kind of person he was. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't you can't say like we're all on the same page here. Killing a kid is wrong,
right?
You know, necessarily
that eventuality yeah. is not covered in the in the prep work, right? And I think there's something very interesting about just like there's so much discussion about the moral event horizons that are crossed throughout the entire series, right? Going back to Walt's killing Crazy Eight, strangling him with the bike lock, right? And it's like, well, okay. Did he need to do that, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And you think everybody is going to have to go along that journey before they get to a point where even Walt it technically is not. He poisoned a kid, but never shot one, knowing it would kill him, right?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, so obviously we've got this fresh-faced, dead-eyed young kid brought in on this. He's not going to be a kid killer, right? And then he blows straight past it because he assumes that if we're robbing trains, then, well, yeah, you meant nobody had to see this. There's no question of, like, even figuring out if he knew what he saw, which we're going to, they're going to talk about next time, next episode.
The fallout from this episode is really compelling, too.
Yeah.
It's, again, another, in addition to just not having Gus's infrastructure, there's a nice contrast point because, like, thinking about in Better Call Saul and the Germans who they bring in, Gus and Mike's operation vetted people within an inch of their life. Yes. You know, it was so much preparation and so much clear communication where people did not do things. You know, there's still unforeseen consequences in that. Werner dies from being a wife guy too hard. there's so much more care put into it. And Walt can't do that because he's always playing catch up. There is no 20 years of history with this stuff. He is constantly dealing from crisis to crisis, which is what makes him make these horrible decisions with us. And like, I remember the first time I saw this, it takes your breath away. Like it's tragic. It's real hard to watch.
You go from the highest high, which is, I can't believe we pulled this off, to the lowest low.
The audience does as well, because again, like a heist has to be a little bit of a heist on you. You are vicariously feeling the same thing. You're high-fiving in the sense like, well, yeah, but what fucking cost, you know? And this turns out to be one of the most serious, like, load-bearing mistakes.
Yes.
Because this is ultimately the thing that, starts the dominoes that drives the final wedge between Jesse and Walt.
Yeah.
That are going to make Jesse turn against Walt, which is going to lead to all the stuff.
Yeah, this starts the spiral.
Yeah. Turning point, for the season. Really excellent episode. Absolutely eminently watchable. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter how many times you see it, like, it is still very fun to watch.
Yeah.
And the kinetics of it are just perfect. Like, in terms of direction, what the actual job of a director does, like, this is flawless. Like, when you talk about that blocking stuff, that is what a director does. A director and a director of photography who find, all of these angles and choose what we're going to see and how it's going to be played. Like that is, this is as good as the show gets, I think, with that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Great episode. And it's also the most ambitious, I think, it gets with the scale and intricacy,
yes.
And you get, and it's not to say that the series is completely devoid of stuff like this. You get stuff like the shootout in the parking lot, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is the height of it, though. Something has to be the height. It's also the height without going, it's like a little silly, but it's not as silly as the robot machine gun.
Yep.
So it doesn't trip any, like, feelings in that direction. Really, really special episode.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah.
I was surprised not to see it rank higher on that big list that is cited like every 16? Wikipedia.
Yeah, 16, 64 18, or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the ones that are higher and that are also bangers.
Yeah, they're also
like,
really good. Yeah.
It's a good show. There's been some discourse recently that's going around. Every once in a while, people start writing stories about like how TV is in a state of arrested development because shows like this are still considered really, really good as opposed to shows that don't star white male action, anti-heroes. And it always makes me a little joker-fied because I'm like, make other show. I want to see other shows as well. This show's really fucking good though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why are you trying, what are you trying to pull from it? I don't think that's that dog don't hunt.
Yeah.
You cannot, make Search Party seem better by making this seem worse and you don't have to.
No.
You know, it's a I don't know. It's a non-starter.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Discourses. Anywho, what can they do if they like this show?
If you like the show, you can support the show and the network by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, and there you can give some money and get a whole bunch of bonus content. If you like us talking about media, we have a whole show about horror movies once a month. It's called Unfilmable, and we think you'd like it.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $10, you get even more. You get Quackstack, and you get Adaptation Decay, which is also talking about media. You get access to the Slack, which is fun, all kinds of things. And, you know, if you can't do this, we understand. Please leave us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. Tell your friends, spread the word. Mm-hmm. All those things are very, very helpful to us.
They are. And yeah, until next time.
Yeah, and thank Gwen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank Gwen. Sorry. Thank you, Gwen.
How dare you?
Sorry. No, I was.
No, yeah. I know. I think that if we ever don't thank Gwen, it's probably Gwen understands.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
we have a pretty good rate.
Human. We're only human.
Yeah.
You know, and we're friends with Gwen. I can't imagine Gwen getting too mad at us about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. And look out for Todds in your life. If you don't see the Todd around you, face the fact that you might be the Todd.
Oh, no.